Holy Father, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your counsel, correction, and direction. Drawing us onto you, washing us with the blood, purging us with your presence, searching us through and removing those things that offend you, bringing your light, truth, revelation, and impartation to each and every one this morning. As we welcome the Holy Spirit to come, allowing the anointing, the power of your love, and the glory of your presence to break every yoke of bondage. As your word goes forth to each and every one, that by the stripes of Jesus, everyone here be made whole, healed, delivered, freed, established, perfected, sanctified, justified, and glorified, that Christ, the Jesus Christ, would receive all glory, all honor, and all praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome somebody and tell them it's your day. It's another beautiful day in God's neighborhood. And it's a good day to die to yourself. Oh, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Lord, fill us. Fill us afresh this morning. Grant our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our heart to receive. Position us where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. For we believe your word. We believe the Bible. Your word is the seed. And you are the life giver of all things. Grant us today, Master, another level that we can kick more devil and rescue more souls for your glory. In Jesus' name. Let's get right to the point. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, yes. Is everybody there? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Let's read it together. Likewise, you younger people. How many of y'all are younger people? Come on, God ain't looking at age. We're all younger people. Submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to what? One another, and be clothed with what? Oh, man, did you dress with humility today? Did you get the cloak of humility? Not pride, humility. Why? Because God resists the proud. The I know it all. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the what? Humble. Now we know that grace is God's plan of escape from the deception of darkness and from the wrath of God. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in his time, not yours. Casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Because, see, pride is always want to fix its own stuff. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So who's your enemy? The devil. Does he use people? Yes. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, faith is connected with the unseen. Hello? Connected with the heavenly things, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, so you ain't alone. So when the devil tries to bring you to you and he's telling you you're the only one that goes through this, he's a liar and he's the father of it. One of the things the devil always wants to do is bring you to you. If he can bring you to you, he's got you. Well, what about me? Woe is me. Woe is me. It's a woe is me syndrome. Well, how am I? What about me? What about I and me, myself? And that's what the devil does. He brings you to you. That's why you're to cast your cares upon him to get rid of you. So if you cast your cares on the Lord, you're removing your burdens, your circumstances, the things that devil Because he's led you into the circumstances that got you into the problem and your cares. Has everybody got it? Because you agreed with him, it brought stuff. Now that stuff needs to go to the Lord, not to you. So he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can what? Devour. How does he devour you? By bringing you to you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walks about like a what? A roaring lion. Ain't nothing but a big mouth. And verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced only by you. You're the only one that experiences all these things. Okay, everybody does. Amen? But may the God of all grace, in other words, the one who has the plan of escape from the deception of the devil, the one that has a plan of escape from his wrath, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? After you have suffered a while. Hello. In other words, he put you on the potter's wheel. He slam dunks you and he remolds you because you got some flaws. But may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal, remember he called you to his eternal glory. So he's preparing you for your eternal glory. After you've suffered a little bit, that suffering is going to perfect you. It's going to establish you. It's going to strengthen you, and it's going to settle you into a place where you'll never be moved. See, but the thing is, you don't run during the suffering. Oh, glory! You allow God to deal with you. Hello. Now. The reason for this scripture, and one of the things I want to talk about is seed. Hallelujah. Seed. See, because what happens is all of these things are happening because the devil wants to steal your seed. But God is going to use that to cause root to your seed. Now, the seed is truth. Now, truth is light, isn't it? So when there is truth and there is light, it exposes the devil. And every time he gets exposed, he wants to hide. He wants to remove the light so he can't get exposed anymore. So in this, there's got to be a place, and God does this by the life of regeneration. One of the things he brings us through is to take that seed, which is the truth, so that that seed can be rooted. And rooted so strong that it will never be moved. So everybody got it? Go to Genesis 4. How many are going through something? If you're not, see me after. We'll make sure you're going through something. Well, I ain't going through nothing. Everything's beautiful in my life. You're a liar. God is good. Amen. Things are awesome. But he always allows you to go through stuff because he's molding you into his image, likeness, and character. And while you're waiting on something, you're doing something. And that area of waiting, sometimes it's called suffering. Hello. And then when what you're waiting for comes to pass, you're waiting on something else. Amen. And you wait all the way home. It doesn't stop. And everybody goes through it. It's a part of life of regeneration. But one of the things that has to establish is truths that have been imparted in us must be rooted so you can overcome. That's why so many people get seed and they get truth, but they don't overcome because it's never been rooted. Because they're still caught up in woe is me, myself, and I. They've not come to the end of themselves. in Genesis 4. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now you must understand that both of them knew what was acceptable to the Lord. Why? Because Adam and Eve already told him what was acceptable to the Lord, because Adam and Eve saw the first offering. And that was when the Lord killed an animal and clothed him with the skin in the Garden of Eden. So they knew what was pleasing to God, life for life. In verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be what? Accept it. In other words, come on, now change it. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. In other words, the presence of evil is waiting for you. And its desire is for you, but you should what? Rule over it. You should what? Rule over it. So I want you to understand that there was a truth that was established from Adam and Eve that was imparted in Cain and Abel. And that was the truth of the correct offering. One, that truth, that seed, that truth was rooted, and the other one, it wasn't. Has everybody got it? Ooh. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Why? Because the presence of evil was waiting for him. And because he chose not to correct or to obey the voice of God, the corruptible seed now was rooted. And the righteous seed was about to get killed here. So everybody got it. So he killed his brother, and the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. I want you to know that the seed has a voice. Because truth has a voice. How many of y'all know words speak? So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. In other words, because of what you did, you will no longer bear fruit. A fugitive and vagabond you shall be on the earth. Does everybody see this? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 21. In verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. And at the what? Set time. How many of y'all know God's time is God's will? If it's out of God's time, it's not God's will. Of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son at his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that feast that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, who was her servant. She was an Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Now, Sarah wasn't willing to wait for the promise of God to come. So she asked Abraham to sleep with Hagar, her servant, and they conceived and produced an Ishmael, which was not a promised seed, but it was still a seed of Abraham. Does everybody see this? Hallelujah. Therefore, she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Has everybody got it? Yes, I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. In other words, he was still honor Abraham. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and skin of water, and putting it in her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him as a distance about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of my boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of who? Not the her voice. Why? Because he was still of a seed of Abraham. So even though the woman cried and wept, God did not hear her. He heard his seed. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because the seed does what? Speaks. Everybody okay? Woohoo. Then the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Now, I truly believe that she was moved, because the angel would not have told her to grab the son's hand. Has everybody got it? I believe he told her to grab the son's hand, and God moved them and brought them to a well. He still does those things. You know that, right? Again, verse 18, arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Does everybody see that? He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him, the land of Egypt. Now we know Egypt represents world. So he was connected with the world. Even though he was the seed of Abraham, but he was not the seed, the promised seed. So even that seed had could speak. Is everybody with me? Ishmael was a seed out of God's timing. Say, out of God's timing. Isaac was a seed of God's timing. Does everybody see this? That's why many believers are producing Ishmaels instead of Isaacs. Because they're moving and doing things out of God's timing and expecting God to move on their behalf. And that's all they're doing is producing Ishmaels instead of Isaacs. Is everybody okay? Go to chapter 22 and verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son. Say your only son. Because he no longer considered Ishmael his son anymore. Oh, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. Now, you got to understand something, because this is powerful, because God was not testing Abraham on the area of his son. He was testing Abraham on the area of whether God, he believed God that Isaac was the promised seed or not. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Go to verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have what? Obeyed my voice." Now I want you to understand something. One of the things that prevent the seed from being stolen or killed or destroyed is obeying the voice of God. Hello. That seed will grow and prosper if you are obedient. Is everybody okay? If you are what? Obedient. Woo, yeah. So we see here that the truth, when God spoke to Abraham, the truth, that seed of truth took root. Abraham was willing to kill Isaac because he believed what God had said. It was actually accounted to him for righteousness because he moved by faith, not by assumption, because he did what God said. And in this, his seed, the seed of truth, was rooted in Abraham believed, and he was willing to kill his son because he knew that if he killed his son, God would have to raise him again from the dead. Why? Because he was the promised seed. But then God provided, didn't he? He provided a ram, didn't he? Because God provides. Now, because Abraham obeyed the voice of God, his seed continued. Go to 1 John 3. The rooted truth, it's got to get rooted. That seed is truth, and it must be rooted in you. So you're not moved. So you're not swayed by the world. So you're not caught up in yourself. So you're not misled, but you're led by the Spirit. So you don't move out of God's timing. You move according to God's time because you can trust Him with all of your heart. See, what has to happen is this seed must move from your head to your heart. That's the only time it begins to take root. It doesn't take root in your head. It takes root in your heart. That's why many believers fall, because they've not allowed it to take root. They don't love truth. Hello. You must love the truth. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 3. Yeah, let's go there. Sounds good. In verse 7. Little children, let no one what? Deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So why was God manifested? Destroy the works of the devil. No, destroy the devil's seeds. Why? Because the devil cannot work without planting a seed. Those are called works of the flesh. So we want works of faith, don't we? Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his what? His what? His what? His what? His what? His seed, his truth remains. Does everybody got it? His truth remains in that person. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Hallelujah. His seed remains because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Remember, the seed is the truth eternal. It is the truth eternal. Has everybody got it? It's an eternal truth. And that seed that's imparted in you must take root. It goes from head to heart. And it begins to grow roots. So it gets embedded. Is everybody with me? In Luke 8. Luke 8:11. Is everybody there? The rooted truth. Now the parable is this. The seed is the what? Word of God. It's God's word truth. It's light also, isn't it? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Who what? Who hear, and the devil comes to what? Take away the word out of their hearts. Why? He doesn't want it to get rooted. Lest they should believe and be what? Whoa! Hold on a second. So many people accept Jesus as Savior. That's the seed, isn't it? But it's not been rooted. That's why they run up to the altar every week. It's not been birthed, and it's birthed by the Holy Ghost. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. All right, what revelation! And these have no root. No what? No root. Who believe for a little while, and in time of temptation or trial, they fall and go back to the flesh. Now the ones that fell along the thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity, so that seed never gets an opportunity to mature and grow fullness. But the ones that fell on good ground, good soil, those are willing to do whatever it takes. Having heard the word with a what? Noble and good heart. That means humble. Keep it. They do what? They keep it. They bear fruit with what? Patience is called endurance. In other words, they endure to maintain that seed. They do whatever it takes to maintain that seed so it's not stolen. You know, when a farmer goes and plants, there are things that he has to do. He takes care of it. He takes care of that seed. He makes sure that no animal comes and steals it. He waters it. He fertilizes it. He protects that seed. He makes sure that the soil is good so that that seed can get rooted. And that's what God does with us. And every truth that you get, it must be rooted. And it's your responsibility to make sure it gets rooted. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. So are you sure you're all right now? Good. So the seed must grow roots to be firmly established. It must go from head to heart. Why? Because the devil comes to what? What did he say in the first one? He says, and the devil comes to take away. He comes to steal. He said, but then those that the seed comes, they're all full of joy. But he comes to kill the seed. He comes to kill. So when they go through temptations, it doesn't hold root. And then he comes to destroy the seed, and he destroys it by choking it because they've been concerned in the cares of the world. The world is still to them materialism, finances, all the other stuff. It's still above the truth of Christ. Oh, but they have some truths. They believe a lot of things. But they're not fully committed, fully surrendered to the complete truth They're still too caught up in money. In money. In money. And they move ahead. They make dumb decisions because money is still leading them. And it's because the truth has not been rooted. Does everybody got it? Because the truth has not been rooted. See, if the truth is rooted, you don't care about nothing. You're totally trusting in God to make way for no matter what it is. So many times we don't give God the opportunity to move because we want God to move on our time and not his. Even though we say, oh, Lord, you need to move quickly. I'm in trouble. I need this. I need that. There you are, back to I again. See, we are forgotten because the truth has not been rooted that we don't have a life. Our life is in Christ. He bought you. If he bought you, he'll provide whatever you need. If you'll cooperate with him, he'll establish your thoughts. If you'll cooperate with him, he'll establish your steps. But so many times, we still want to be like the Joneses. We want to be better than... We've got our own ideas of what we need and how we ought to serve God instead of allowing God to do it. Because the truth has not been allowed to grow root. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. So there must be endurance. And it's our responsibility to maintain and nurture the soil to be good. 1 Corinthians 3. Come on, you see what's going on in the world right now? People are freaking. While the government continues to lie. See, now they're putting their trust in the government instead of in God. And why is that? Because they're putting their trust in money to provide instead of God to provide. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is everybody there? And verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Hallelujah. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the what? Who gives the increase? Who? Wait a minute, I thought we do. No. Boy, we sure work hard to get the increase, though, don't we? Ha, 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 ha. Man, we do all kinds of things. Cry out to God. We do all kinds of things to try to get the increase. See, but there's two things that didn't happen. He said we're to plant. In other words, sow. Unless you sow, you don't have a harvest. Has everybody got it? So if you're an individual that's always on the receiving end and not the giving end, you'll never get a harvest. You know, when even when people do outreaches in other countries, and these are poor people, they have nothing to offer. They'll bring a chicken. They'll bring an egg. They'll bring anything to sow. It doesn't matter because that is a spiritual law. If you're an individual that's always on the receiving side and not on the giving side, you'll never have a harvest. Never. And the Bible says those who don't sow rob God. And you're cursed. So whatever you get, no matter what it is, somebody blesses you with something, you ought to tithe on it. You got to give something to God back. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because that is sowing. You're going according to the spiritual law. He who sows reaps. That's why some people are never advancing. There's always limitations on their life. And those limitations are broke when that seed of truth has gained root, and you believe it goes from head to heart. Now you're living it. You're not just speaking it. Oh, glory. Verse 8. So he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor to what you sow. Hello? Plant, water, increase. In other words, there must be an impartation. There must be illumination to bring growth. There must be an impartation that's planted in the seed and an illumination. In other words, revelation. To know that it is a truth and that truth must grow root so it can grow root. So there must be an impartation or illumination and then growth. Say it with me, impartation, illumination, then growth. Go to Galatians 3. The rooted truth. You know, it gives you an opportunity. In other words, you may have some truth rooted, but not all of it. In other words, you're standing strong on one thing, but you ain't standing strong on another. God wants us to be rooted in truth, to stand strong in every area, we must be immovable. Waiting on the Lord no matter what. Do you know that your words speak, right? They can be a sword, a scissor, or water. So what you speak can either sever the root or water it. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, would you read it with me? For you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. In other words, all things are beginning to flow down to you now. In other words, limitations are broken off. Abraham's seed, the promise, carried into the new covenant in Christ to live the life of Christ and carry his seed to plant in others. That seed must first take root because you can only go as far as the roots are expanded. Does everybody got it? Is everybody with me? You can only go as far as the roots are. You cannot go beyond the roots. Seed of Christ, there's a DNA in the seed of Christ, and that's the image and likeness and the character of Christ. In that seed, there's a DNA. It is to produce the righteousness of God by faith. That means self must come to the end. James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 2. Would you read it with me? My brethren, count it all joy when, not if, not maybe. It says, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So, you are going to fall into various trials. Let me share this with you. When you fall into various trials, those are opportunities for the seed to root. It's an opportunity. That's when the seed really starts to begin to root, is when you're going through stuff. It doesn't root when you're not going through stuff. When a storm comes, what happens? You grab onto something, don't you? If a big wind was to come, everybody would grab onto something. Right? Well, it's the same thing with the seed of God, the truth in you. When trials and tribulations come, that's the opportunity for that truth to grow root in your life so that you are not movable, so that you won't sway one way or another. But so many people go to the work of the flesh instead of the work of faith. And they begin to rely on worldliness instead of godliness. It says, but let patience, which this word patience means endurance, that means you must be consistent. But let patience have its what? Perfect work. So while you're enduring, there's a perfect work coming. What's happening? Roots are growing from the seed of truth. That you may be what? Perfect, complete, and what? Lacking nothing. Why? Because through the seed of Abraham, the blessings are flowing. But if you're not rooted, you miss them. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Seed's not taken root. He is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Wow. Instability means that there are no roots in truth. Does everybody got it? The seed of truth must take root, and it's your trials and tribulations are opportunities for roots to grow in that truth. So when you're lacking, what does he say? Ask for wisdom. Lord, grant me the wisdom of what to do. It doesn't mean that you just go do anything. Now, faith comes by what? Hearing. So when you hear God, not assumption, you just don't pop from one thing to another. You don't go out and do all kinds of stuff until it happens. Because while you're doing all kinds of stuff until it happens, the devil's stealing all the other seeds. Because nothing's growing root. And while you're grumbling and complaining, you're actually severing the roots now that have been established. What you speak will curse the root to wither and dry up. That's why he says, ask for wisdom. So we're to count it all joy during our trials and tribulations, because it's going to produce endurance so that the roots can grow deeper to hold against any storm. Go to Isaiah 61. A couple more scriptures. Isaiah 61. Remember, God right now is bringing the body of Christ to the end of herself. Self is a corruptible seed. See, he wants to begin to remove all of the roots of the self, of the corruptible seed, so that the seed of truth can grow roots and not be moved. Would y'all read with me, starting at verse 1? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be what? That they may be glorified. Now listen, that he may be glorified. A tree of righteousness. So we're to be trees bearing good fruit, right? But now I want you to look at a tree. Now, with a tree, what happens is when a dry spout comes, trees begin to grow root because they're always going deeper for water. Does everybody got it? So your trials and tribulations are to cause your roots to go deeper. We're to be going deeper, not pulling up. That seed of truth should be going deeper. We are known as trees of righteousness to go what? Deeper. That's why the Bible tells us to work out our own salvation, right? The truth must continually be sought at deeper levels. Because the truth is the seed, isn't it? We must be consistent and endure with fellowship and personal fellowship. In other words, with fellowship of personal and corporate. With revelation of the Spirit and maintaining of the anointing. so that we can carry and be backed by the presence, power, and the eternal truth. In other words, that's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit, because that's your drink, and to eat the Word, which is your food. Now, the food is truth, isn't it? Also, the Word is known as watering. That's why the Bible says water. In other words, speak the Word, water with the Word. So that seed that's imparted must be constantly maintained. And when trials and tribulations come of truth, it's an opportunity for it to root even deeper. Not to pull up and run. Not to get on the phone, but hit the throne. Not to blame somebody for your stuff. Hello? Not to look in the natural realm, but look in the spiritual realm. Don't grumble. Don't complain, because you'll dry up that root. Does everybody got it? You'll what? You'll dry up that root. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. How many of y'all want to be trees of righteousness? Praise God. So that you can grow root all the way. So when the storm comes, you ain't moving. That storm is an opportunity. So what you can just say is, bring it on, devil. Why? Because the more he brings it on, the more root you're going to get. If you're standing. Glory to God. Come on, I give you your best shot. I'll just grow more root. In verse 1, what's it say? Blesses a man. Oh, blesses a man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. Whoa! That brings forth his fruit in its season, whose leaf also not wither, and whatever he does will what? See, you can't prosper without roots. Why? Because you can only go as far as your root. In verse 4, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll close here. Colossians 1. Do you ever know if you've gone through stuff, as long as you've not gone into flesh, and you're still in the works of faith, you get stronger. Does everybody got it? Why? Because you've grown root. And you can only go as far as your root. Your roots are your limitations. If your roots are going, man, no matter what's going on. Do you ever see, you know, during the hurricanes and stuff like that, some of those palm trees, I'm telling you, they've been way over, but they've grown root, haven't they? They've been through so many storms and so many trials that they've grown root. That they're not going to get ripped up. They're just going to bend. They bend and they sway and they stand. And that's what we're to be like. Trees of righteousness. Bearing good fruit. Taking that truth and allowing every truth, allow it to grow and bear root so that you are not moved. Colossians 1 and verse 24. Is everybody there? I now rejoice in my sufferings. Hallelujah. How could he say that? Because he's rooted. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, the natural man says, this guy's nuts. But one who's taken roots honors and respects what he just said. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. And to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Has everybody got it? Everybody all right? Praise be to God. Let that seed bear fruit. Let that seed get root. You only bear fruit as deep as the root. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We thank you. Let the seed grow and bear fruit for your glory, but let it get rooted. Grant us the wisdom and knowledge, revelation and impartation, that the seed would be backed by the anointing. That we would maintain the seed of truths and all the truths that you've imparted in us, that they will all be rooted and it would stand firm to be a tree of righteousness and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.